Welcome to Sharon Baptist Church. You're about to hear from guest speaker Brian Baer. Of course, you can find out more about us on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com, or join us for live stream Sunday mornings, 10:45, Sharon Baptist Concord on Facebook. But we're open this Sunday. Tomorrow, we'll be open again. So come join us in person, 10:45. We'll have masks and gloves and thermometers, all that stuff there to keep you safe. But come join us in person. We're going to be open tomorrow, 10:45, at SharonBaptistConcord.com. Get directions right from our website. Hope to see you there.
I'm pleased to make an announcement that next Sunday, June the 7th, we're going to begin worship services again in the sanctuary here at Sharon Baptist. We're going to be meeting at 10:45. Just a couple of things I need to share. We'll need to ask you to enter and exit the church next Sunday from the front doors. We will have masks for everyone who wants it. We have plenty of hand sanitizer on hand, and we're going to be as safe as we possibly can. So look forward to next Sunday, June the 7th, meeting here on Sunday morning at 10:45. So I hope you'll come join us. We'll have a wonderful time of worship together. It's been a long time since we had an opportunity to be together, but we're looking forward to next Sunday. So you plan to come join us. Now for this morning, we have a rare treat for us. One of our ministers of our church, Brother Brian Baer, is going to bring our morning message. So we look forward to hearing from Brian. And Amanda's going to come sing for us. And after she sings, Brother Brian's going to come and bring the morning message. So you pray for him as he comes, and pray for Amanda as she comes to sing. Amanda?
Lord, I see a world that's dying, wounded by the master of deceit. Groping in the darkness, haunted by the years of pasting. Then I see you standing near me, Lord, shining with compassion in your eyes. And I pray, Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night.
First of all, I just want to thank you, Dr. Strickland, for giving me this opportunity again to bring a word from the Lord today. And thank you for allowing me to sharpen my skills to become a pastor that I believe the Lord wants me to be, especially in this world we live in today. This message that I have prepared for you today is called Freedom in Boldness. I've entitled it Freedom in Boldness. You see, today, May 31st, 2020, is this year's commemoration of the Day of Pentecost. Christians annually celebrate Pentecost on a designated Sunday on the assumption that 50 days from the Passover to the Feast of Weeks were counted until the day after the seventh Sabbath, our Sunday, as prescribed by Leviticus 23, verses 15 and 16. Now, Pentecost is first mentioned in the New Testament as the occasion when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit entered the disciples of Christ, an event which many theologians understand as marking the beginning of the church. The beginning of the church. See, the church was Jesus's great mystery revealed, which had not been revealed in any other generation before it. And Pentecost is a day when the church began, and it is great news I have for you today is the church will never end. And how do I know that? Well, that's what I want to hopefully demonstrate for you this morning, today, from the passages that we will read in God's Word this morning. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Acts chapter 4, and the passages that I will be bringing to you this morning will be verses 23 through 31. Acts 4, 23 through 31. Okay, I'm going to start reading now. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. They spake the word of God with boldness. You see, the great mystery, the church, was made possible only through the death of Jesus on the cross, his burial, his resurrection, which would bring all believers together, no matter what your ethnicities were or is. It was the Jews and Gentiles alike that would be brought together under one nation, under one race, that Christ says, because we are believers in him. However, the church, in order to operate as God would expect it, would take the boldness of the spiritual body of believers of Christ to keep the church alive and thriving through the ages until our glorious redemption takes place. For the body of believers to accomplish this task, it would truly take the empowering of the Holy Spirit to assure this happens. It will take the empowering of the Holy Spirit to assure that this happens. You see, just before this Pentecost day, back when Christ, before he ascended into heaven, he tells the disciples in Acts 1, he shares this with them in Acts 1 and 8. You don't have to turn there, but listen what Christ says. He said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Okay, that was in chapter 1 of Acts. In Acts 2, chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit fell upon the believers, remember at this time, this was during the festival of weeks following the Passover celebration in Jerusalem. There were many Jews from every nation under heaven, the Word of God tells us. So the diverse tongues that were spoken by the apostles were reaching the Passover participants in their own particular language. Many languages that they were speaking was reaching people at the Passover time. It's a big celebration. The diverse languages spoken by the disciples was a supernatural event, and it was the most excellent way for the good news of Jesus' victory over death to travel throughout the known world at that time. I liken this to like maybe a video on YouTube or Facebook that goes viral. When it goes viral, the multitudes of millions see these things. And that's what I liken this when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke in other tongues. And I liken this to like a modern day internet. That news of Christ, the Messiah had come, had traveled throughout the world in a very fast manner. And chapter 3, leading up to our text today in chapter 4, but chapter 3, I'm going to go over real quickly. Peter and John were in prison. They were at the temple. They were at the temple gate called Beautiful, and there was a crippled man there that was put there because, see, at the gate Beautiful were Gentiles and Jews there, so it would have been the opportunity for him to collect the most money he could get. But Peter told him, he goes, "I don't have money or silver to give to you." He said, "But I do have Jesus Christ to give to you." And he declared him healed right there in the name of Jesus. And he got up and he rose. And the guy was so excited, he was running through the temple gate. And he was running through Solomon's part of the temple where all the Jews, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the Sanhedrin were witnessing this. So that's kind of what took place in chapter 3. Well, from this, they wanted to know, how were you healed? And they couldn't contain it because it was Jesus Christ. So they wanted to imprison Peter and John, which they did. Okay, now let's go into Acts 4, chapter 23 and 31. And what I've gotten out of this portion of Scripture today is three movements that I want you to note today. And I want us as a church today to practice this as well, because I think this is good for us as a continuing church today. The first movement that I want to bring to your attention was in verse 24 of Acts 4, where they declare God is sovereign. And just like Dr. Strickland said earlier in his prayer, he was talking about the sovereignty of God despite what's going on around us today. And we see all kinds of things that are occurring that may leave us a little fear, but we don't have to be in fear because we know God is sovereign, just like Peter and John and the church of that day. That's the first movement. The second movement is God has a plan. He's predestined this plan, okay? And it includes that believers will face opposition against the Messiah. That's in verses 25 through 28. Now, the third movement is by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God would grant them, the disciples then, and us as a church today, boldness to preach that the Messiah has come and His name is Jesus Christ. Okay, now let's look at the first movement. God is sovereign. Again, in Acts chapter 2, Peter and John were arrested for declaring that the man who was standing, who had been a crippled beggar his whole life, was healed by Jesus Christ. Through Peter's declaration, after receiving the Holy Spirit, that the man who begged, he was to rise, and he did. He was healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And although those facts of that healing that took place were empirically valid, means to see it, to objectively witness it, as the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the Sanhedrin had done, they did not care about this truth. So even after Peter and John's arrest, the Bible says that multitudes heard the word that day when that man was healed. They heard the word about Jesus and believed. The word tells us that 5,000 became disciples and believers of Christ. The evidence was so undeniable that Christ was Lord and was working through the disciples. A plot was formed, it says. And even though the truth of Jesus had been revealed, the plot was formed by the religious leaders and the Sanhedrin, the court system. And their desire was to keep this news of Jesus' messiahship from spreading throughout Jerusalem and the known world. In many cases today, like it was then, the truth about Jesus being the Messiah is suppressed by many in the world today. Now you will see in chapter 4, verses 23, when the other believers had heard about Peter and John being arrested and what they had gone through, they did not begin voicing concerns of fear. No, they immediately lifted their voices and together as the church declared the sovereignty of God. And the God of the universe had anointed Jesus and now had anointed them too. And that means He has anointed you today if you are a believer and you declare Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now this brings me to my second point, my second movement in the text that we're studying today. God's plan includes that believers will face opposition in regards to their declaration that the Messiah had come and conquered death, hell, and the grave. So let me assure you, if you are a believer and an outspoken ambassador of Christ, facing opposition is inevitable. See, Jesus declared this in Matthew 10, 16. He told them over there, He said, listen, my children, he was talking to the disciples. He said, you need to be Spirit-filled by the Holy Spirit to ensure that even through your trials and your tribulations, the Word of God needs to be proclaimed. He didn't say if your trials and tribulations. He said you will have trials and tribulations, and don't let that deter you from preaching this Word of God. And in order to have that boldness and courage, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So additionally, Jesus told His followers in a couple of verses down in Matthew 10, 19, and 20, and I'm sure Peter and John remembered this very all too well in Acts 4, when Jesus said this in 19 and 20 of Matthew 10, He says, when they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Man, the Holy Spirit empowers those who simply ask Him and who have made Jesus Christ their Lord and their Savior, who wants to be discipled by the Word of God through men like Dr. Strickland here. You are allowing the Holy Spirit to entrust you as a reborn Christian, but not for the believer's gain as it pertains to health and wealth. That's not what the Holy Spirit is empowering you for. Not for, let me say that again, He doesn't fill you for the gain as it pertains to health and wealth. The believer is empowered by the Holy Spirit for the purpose of demonstrating and exercising boldness to speak God's Word and living God's Word. We're going to speak it and we must live it. Acts 4:29, look again. Acts 4:29, Peter and John prayed, and now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your Word. And then Luke writes just shortly thereafter in 31, he writes this. He said, they, talking about the church, were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the Word of God with boldness. They were filled with the Spirit and spoke the Word of God with boldness. Now, in World War II, the Romanian government was overtaken by communist Russia. Romania had a substantial Christian presence at this time, and I would say that it was greater then than what is in liberal America today. The Russian government gathered the religious leaders of Romania during a congressional hearing in which the religious leaders were basically manipulated to encourage their parishioners and their congregations to follow the Russian communistic manifesto, basically. They didn't want them to exert their faith in the public. But you see, a man named Richard Wormbrand, a Romanian Lutheran pastor, he did not stand for this deception which was brought forth by the communist Russians or the Romanian religious deserters. And by speaking out against communism and pledging allegiance to Jesus Christ, during that congressional hearing, he was tortured for nearly 15 years. Thousands of Christians in Romania were sent to labor camps, and many were sent to prisons only to be beaten to death or nearly to death, all because they had pledged allegiance to Jesus Christ and not to that communist government. Despite all of this torture, Wormbrand said that the ministry to the Russians was still fruitful. Wormbrand said that the communist prison guards, he said of them, he said communism had stripped them of any form of humanity. He actually said communism is Satan's religion on earth. And he said the only way he could get to those communist prison guards was by the love of God. That's the only thing that could restore them. He also notes in his book, Tortured for Christ, that it was the Holy Spirit who gave him and the other Romanian Christians inspiration to lead these atheists and these God-hating communist people to Christ. The Holy Spirit is what gave them inspiration. You know, Richard Wormbrand, just as Peter and John in Acts 4, desired this only. They desired that God's power would be manifested even if it took their life. That God's power would be manifested. Again, the Holy Spirit empowers the reborn Christian that he or she may declare God's word without reservation, despite what any governmental powers imparts on you. And this will lead me to my third and final movement of this passage, and that is boldness to preach and boldness to teach and boldness to live, but boldness to preach. Once more, look with me at Acts 4:29. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Now see, Peter and John's prayer in this verse exhibits that their prayer for boldness in witness shows a determination to directly disobey the command of the Sanhedrin. Now, they did not pray against those who persecuted them, but they prayed that their own faithfulness in witness to speak God's word. That's what they're praying for, that their witness would be shown. So the point that I'm arguing for this morning, this being Pentecost Sunday, is I believe the boldness that Peter and John are praying for in Acts must be an example that we exercise today, that the word of God is preached and declared throughout the nations. That was God's original plan with the patriarch Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. God's plan was always to be that we are a counterculture to culture that would show God's light. We are salt and light, that we are to reach the nations. But we need that Holy Spirit to do so. So again, Jesus' death and resurrection are the church's foundation, and all who are in Christ's body are baptized into it by the Holy Spirit. So once more, the boldness that John and Peter were asking of God was for the work of their ministries so that others could see and know Christ. It wasn't for their personal gain. The Holy Spirit was administered for the edifying of the body of Christ by all members, everyone, the members of Christ. Then, as it is today, display their gifts in various ways. Spiritual gifts are not demonstrated by pastors and Christian teachers alone, but by everyone who is truly born again and who pledge allegiance to Jesus Christ as their Lord. And everyone has a platform to preach this message. Use them. Flood these platforms with God's word. You are a living platform, so display that in your actions. For those that are listening and you have not given your life to Christ, do it today. He lives, praise God. He lives. You know, I have learned to defend Jesus' crucifixion, his death, and his resurrection by utilizing a plethora of sources in and outside of the Bible through many years of study. This has instructed my head knowledge. But I tell you, from the top of my lungs, nothing is greater than the feeling the Holy Spirit is inside of my body. For the greatest evidence that Christ lives is inside me. He lives, just like the song says, He lives. If you ask me how I know He lives, He lives within my heart. You see, this is the instruction that has been planted on my heart. Through academia, my head has been enlightened, but in my heart, I know He lives. So repent of your sins, beloved. Ask Jesus and the Holy Spirit to fill your heart. Ask Jesus to wash you clean of your sins. Live for Him. Deny yourself. Take up your cross, the Bible says. Read the Word of God daily and exclaim the Word to the nations. Again, I am so thankful and I'm so humbled that on this Pentecost Sunday, that the church that began in that upper room 2,000 plus years ago in Jerusalem with the baptism of the Holy Spirit who empowered them and who still empowers us today, He gives us the power to be bold, to be encouraged, to be at peace that God is sovereign and He is in control. At the beginning of this sermon, I stated Pentecost is the day when the church began. And the great news is the church will never end. And I said, how do I know that? And I said, I hope to be able to demonstrate that to you. Well, God has a remnant of believers. He has people like Dr. Strickland, Sister Amanda, Pastor Jason, and like many of you that are watching or listening to the sermon, that will never stop proclaiming God's sovereignty, movement number one. They're believers that will not be shaken in the face of opposition, movement number two. And these believers will always petition the Holy Spirit to grant him or her boldness to declare the Word of God in this fallen world. That's movement number three. That is why I know and I can tell you with great confidence the church is eternal. We are part of Christ's body. He is our Lord. He is my Savior. I pledge allegiance to Him. I'm a disciple of Christ. I'm a disciple of men and women that disciple me because they are disciples of Christ. So in closing, let me share this little short story, and it's entitled Greatest Unused Power. An American with an English gentleman was viewing the Niagara Whirlpool Rapids when he said to his friend, "Hey, come, I'll show you the greatest unused power in the world." And taking him to the foot of the Niagara Falls, he said, there, look, there is the greatest unused power in the world. And the man said, "Ah, no, brother, not so," was his reply. He said, "The greatest unused power in the world is the Holy Spirit of the living God." So I'll leave you with that today. And I'm praying that you, if you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you'll accept Him today. Declare Him. Make Him Lord of your life. It's a blessing, unlike any blessings that you could ever imagine. And I want you to garner that Holy Spirit, that part of the Trinity. He's here to empower us, to give us power to get through these darkened times. So let's utilize the Holy Spirit. And I just thank God for His Word and thank you for listening. Dr. Strickland, you want to say a closing?
What a wonderful message. How needful it is that we need to hear that today. Let's bow together and pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your faithful servant who has come today to share it with us. May thy word lodge in our heart so that we might be better servants for you. Help us to be bold as were Peter and John and all the others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you for joining us. That was guest speaker Brian Baer at Sharon Baptist Church. You can find out more about us on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com, or also watch live stream tomorrow, 10:45, Sharon Baptist Concord on Facebook. But we're open tomorrow, 10:45, so come by and see us in person tomorrow morning, 2628 Shady Lane Avenue, Concord, North Carolina. Get directions from our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com.